At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, welcome back to the For Him podcast, and happy Easter to everyone. Today is not just a holiday filled with chocolate and bunnies and eggs, but a holiday that celebrates the heartbeat of our faith. So let's get raw, real, and unfiltered about Easter beyond the eggs. A little side note, I did some research trying to figure out why bunnies and eggs are used as a symbol, and essentially, a while back at the pagan spring festivals, they honored a German goddess whose name was, I'm going to butcher this, but something along the lines of Estore, and that's where Easter got its name from. And she was very into, obsessed with, in admiration of bunnies, and they were very sacred to her. And so that's kind of how the Easter bunny came about. And then later developed stories by German immigrants of an Easter bunny that laid colorful eggs. And these eggs were to symbolize new life, just as Jesus was resurrected and reborn. And the traditions kind of just evolved over time. And so in this episode, I'm going to talk about why the resurrection matters, what it truly accomplished, and how it changed our access to God forever. Basically how Easter applies to our life now, and this is that Jesus made a way from us to God. So first, what is and why does the resurrection matter? It is the cornerstone of our faith. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Essentially just emphasizing the fact that the resurrection is proof that Jesus isn't just a good teacher, he is the Son of God. And if he stayed dead, we would have no hope in a relationship with God. So him rising from the dead proves his power over death, over sin, and over anything that separates us from God. It is also God's victory over death, the resurrection. And this is because death and sin entered the world through Adam, but resurrection and righteousness came through Jesus. And this is talked about in Romans 5, 12 through 21, which to sum it up, basically just says that Adam disobeyed God and this led to sin and death. And so we inherit this sin and are subject to death because of this. But Jesus reversed that. And although actions Adam's brought condemnation to all, Jesus's actions brought righteousness to all and life to all who believe in him. And that I think a good way to look at this, one of my friends actually shared this with me one time when we were doing a Bible study, and it's just stuck with me ever since. And it's just this little drawing, this little diagram that essentially paints the picture that as we become more aware of our sinfulness, we also become more aware of God's holiness and in that our need for Christ. And I'm going to do my best to explain what this diagram would look like, so stick with me. But think of two arrows starting at the same point, and one is ascending, it's going upwards, and the other is descending, it's going downwards, so they're getting further and further from each other. The one going upwards is God's holiness and our awareness of that, and the one going downwards is our sinfulness and our awareness of that. But in the middle of these two arrows going different directions, there is a cross that gets bigger and bigger as the gap widens. And that, like I said, just paints this picture of we become more aware that we need Christ the more that we know how sinful we are and the more that we realize how holy God is. So I just wanted to throw that in there. I personally am a visual learner and I love seeing things like that to really just help me understand the depth behind these things that we learn and say and live. And so also in this, death is no longer the final word or the end, but it's this doorway to eternal life with God. And we are so blessed to receive this gift of eternal life through Christ's death and resurrection. I'm sure you all have heard before, the veil was torn. In terms of Easter and Jesus's death and Jesus's resurrection. And for a long time, I didn't know what this meant. But basically there's a passage in Exodus 26, and it says that there was this temple, which it separated the most holy place, and that's where God's presence was, from the people. And the veil was this separation. And so the significance of this veil being torn, of Jesus making a way for us and God to meet, and there not being this separation any longer, is this invitation from God to us as he tears the veil, and through Jesus's resurrection, allowing us to be in the same space and dwell with the Lord. Also, Easter isn't just about the resurrection, but relationship, as God removed this separation between us and him. As Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, because we are able to, because Jesus gave us this way to meet God. Although we are sinful and he is holy, there is grace." And this is because Jesus fulfilled the law of sacrifice by making the ultimate sacrifice on the cross and dying for our sins. In Matthew 5:17, it says, "I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." And this marked the shift that we now are able to relate to God through grace and not through performance. He didn't just show the way to God, he is the way. Referring to Jesus, by the way, it says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." And so Easter just reminds us and emphasizes how God came to us first, because although religion might say you should climb your way to God, Easter points towards and reminds us of the fact that God came down to meet us, and that no amount of good deeds or church attendance or spiritual effort could make a way. And so because of this, Jesus made one for us in his sacrifice and in his resurrection. We would never be able to earn God's love or earn God's grace or his mercy, but we are so lucky and blessed and gifted in the fact that it doesn't have to be earned, because it's already given to us through Jesus's death and resurrection. And so what does that mean for us? What does Easter mean for us now in our daily lives, being mindful of it? I would say that, number one, like I kind of illustrated before, we're not working for God's love. We are living from it, and we don't need to earn this. Also, heaven isn't just a destination. It's this daily reality. And because of that, eternal life starts now. It doesn't just start when we die. That's why it's so important to live for Jesus now and seek the kingdom and follow God the best we know how, because God's spirit lives in us because of the resurrection, and we are therefore given power to forgive and to live with purpose and to overcome sin and walk in freedom. But all of these things don't happen naturally. We have to make this daily choice. And so whatever part of your life still feels buried or dead or unreachable, I just really want to encourage you to bring those places to Jesus and choose to live like the tomb is open and like Jesus rose from the dead and like he made a way, like he's really with you now. I really encourage you guys to live like this, as well as myself, because this is our reality and we're so blessed to have this reality. And so it's something that we should be showing appreciation of, by the way that we live our lives, and try our best to glorify him and be more like him and spread his good news to others. And so I just want to ask you to take one step this week with me to do so by praying or opening your Bible or talking to God or even sharing your faith. And for me, I decided today that I was going to play Easter Bunny of my college town and hide eggs all around filled with an invitation card to my church for the Easter church service. I just hope that it reaches someone that is willing to take a step towards God by attending the service and learning more about him and just remaining mindful of that, or even sharing that with others. And so I just want to close in prayer. I thought that this was a good idea to start closing my episodes in prayer. My friends had suggested this to me, and I'm not going to lie, at first it feels a little bit uncomfortable, but we have to go through discomfort to experience growth and then therefore be comfortable in that thing. Prayer just grows in practice, and I've learned that a lot. The more that I do it, the more I feel at ease in doing so. And I actually recently this week led Bible study for the first time in my Bible study group, and I was so nervous to pray in front of everybody because I can count on one hand how many times I've prayed with someone else listening, like prayed aloud before me and another person or a group of people. And like I told them, it's just one of those things that you feel like you have to have the perfect words to say, but that's not the reality at all. There's not a perfect way to pray. And I touched on this a lot in my episode about the power of prayer, but it's really just about speaking whatever's on your heart because that's what God wants to hear. And so with that, God, I just want to thank you. I want to thank Jesus for the cross, but even more for the empty tomb and for tearing the veil and just making this way for us to know you better and be able to reach you, and for getting rid of that separation between us. I just pray that you help us to live like you're alive and that we are mindful of this and that we walk in the power of your resurrection every day. Amen. If you take nothing else from this, guys, I really hope that you take that while Easter might be one day on the calendar, resurrection is for every day of your life, and living like so is a step towards and for him.